I'm Duarte Geraldino, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Women, girls, mothers, daughters, and sisters. They are being murdered in Mexico at an astounding rate. The people who study this call it gender-based violence. It's also known as femicide. And last year, more than 1,000 women were killed in Mexico. That's nearly 10 women or girls every day. Mexican women are fighting back, taking to the streets, demanding the world recognize the threats that they live under. And after a string of killings in the past few months, some so gruesome involving torture and mutilation, Mexico is seeing some of the biggest protests in recent history. Tens of thousands of women and their supporters marched this Sunday on International Women's Day. And on Monday, women took part in a national strike called A Day Without Us. Many women stayed home, refused to work, to demonstrate the power women actually hold in the country. Meet Andalusia Knowles-Soloff. She's a freelance journalist in Mexico. Hi, Andalusia.
Hi.
So we know there's a femicide crisis in Mexico. How long has it been unfolding?
The femicide crisis actually has been unfolding over the past 30 years. It first became known to the world in Ciudad Juárez, which is a border city on the U.S.-Mexico border in northern Mexico. And it's a city where many women migrated from all across Mexico to work in factories and maquiladoras. And then at some point, their bodies started showing up in the desert there. And these cases were not investigated. The government often said, or the police would say that, oh, they just went off with their boyfriend. And the families kept insisting that their daughters did not just go away, that someone had either kidnapped them or killed them. And then finally, they were able to pressure the government enough to investigate. But that was only because they also took it to international courts. And it was a case called the Cottonfield case, because there were some women who were found in a cotton field. It was an international human rights case in which, I think it was 2010, they dictated that the Mexican government was responsible for the murder of these women because they did not properly investigate it, and also the conditions just of security in general. And the Mexican government was supposed to take a series of measures to change the situation. But today, 10 years later, not only do women keep being killed in Ciudad Juárez, but now 10 women are being killed every single day all across Mexico.
So we know that there are some women who are killed and their deaths are not marked as femicides. Is there a specific definition that would mark a particular murder a femicide as opposed to just a homicide?
Yes. Femicide, which is a term that was created by the feminist Marcela Lagarde, is a term that describes a hate crime against a woman when a woman is being murdered for being a woman, and it was incorporated into the penal code in Mexico in 2012, but it actually depends on the state, so it's not the same in every state, but generally it is considered a femicide if the woman is killed by someone who she had a relationship with, either an intimate relationship or a familial relationship, or if the woman's body was left in a public place, which is very, very common in Mexico, or if before the woman was murdered, that she was kidnapped or disappeared for some time. And then also if there is sexual violence involved, or if there were incidents of violence before she was murdered. So it depends a little on every state, but that more or less are the reasons in which a femicide is defined as a femicide. And also it's important to note that there are often cases of femicide where the government does not properly investigate and says it's a suicide. There's a case of Marina Buendía, who was murdered by her husband and strangled, and the government said it was a suicide. Her mother, often it's the mothers who become the investigators and the forensic experts in these cases to find justice for their daughters. She said that she knew that her daughter did not commit suicide, and she actually brought the case all the way up to the Mexican Supreme Court, where they then dictated that both they had to reopen the case where her husband was eventually prosecuted. But what this meant is that they said that every single violent death of a woman in Mexico must be investigated as a femicide. They can then decide that it wasn't a femicide, but from the get-go, they must be investigated by femicides. Unfortunately, that still does not happen, but on the books, that is what legally should happen when a woman meets a violent death.
Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador ran on a progressive campaign and has been in office since December 2018. How has his administration reacted to the crisis of femicide?
He has definitely come very short of responding to this crisis. And if he is responding to the crisis, it's because civil society is responding to the crisis and that women are taking to the streets in mass to protest this administration. I was just a few days ago in Michoacán, in Morelia, which is a very conservative city where there's hardly ever any protests, and more than 3,000 women took to the streets in protest, and that was just in one city. That happened in cities all over the country. He did say yesterday, he has a morning press conference every day where he said, oh, I do support their right to protest, but he also said, I do think, though, there are many conservative elements that are being disguised behind the feminist movement. And he has said many things like this over the past month, where he thinks that it's people that are trying to attack his government and his government, which is called the Fourth Transformation of Mexico, that they are trying to shut this transformation down disguised by these women's movements. And he really has neither shown sympathy for the victims. We've had a series of really serious public cases of women being murdered over the past few months, one including the murder of a 7-year-old girl who was kidnapped outside of her school and found dead and naked in a bag a week later. And he has not shown any kind of empathy or sympathy with the families. He has not put forward a strategy for security. The one thing that has happened, and this I would not say came from him, is that there is a new investigative fiscal in the government that will investigate femicides. And it is actually someone who is fit to do this. Her name is Sayuri Herrera, and she is a lawyer who has specialized in femicides and actually worked on a very well-known case, which is of Lesbi Rivera Berlin, who was found dead on the UNAM campus with a telephone cord. This is the largest university in the country. She was found with a telephone cord around her neck, and the government said it was suicide. And thanks to Sayuri and her lawyer team and the family, they were able to prove that she was murdered by her boyfriend, who now is in prison for femicide. So hopefully this new investigative team of the government, and with Sayuri as the fiscal, will be looking further into this femicide crisis.
Andalucía Knowles-Soloff is a freelance journalist based in Mexico. Andalucía, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on. You can follow me at Andalalucha, and I'm always there writing about and publishing about gender violence in Mexico.
We just heard how women in Mexico are taking to the streets to protest gender-based violence in the country. Some people say the way local Mexican newspapers cover violence sometimes makes the situation worse. Suman Naishadam is a freelance reporter based in Mexico. She recently wrote an article for Al Jazeera about femicide and Mexican media. Suman, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Duarte. How are you?
Now, Suman, you recently wrote a piece for Al Jazeera where you talk about the media and how their display of some of the images of gender-based violence is offensive to a lot of people. Can you describe that in more detail?
So the story I wrote was on the Nota Roja, or Red Sheets, these graphic crime tabloids that feature uncensored photos of the dead, often with lewd headlines, not unlike something you might see in the New York Post or Daily Mail if, you know, they covered this kind of thing and ran it on their front page. And the photos are usually next to other photos of sports stars and nude models. And last month, two Mexico City Nota Roja papers came under fire when they printed a leaked photo of the 25-year-old femicide victim, Ingrid Escamilla. When they published leaked photos of her corpse on their front pages, it was a brutal image, and one paper ran the full image under the headline, "It was Cupid's fault," in an allusion to a crime of passion that happened near Valentine's Day. So the publication of this photo, you know, definitely touched a nerve, and there were many women who felt that they exploited the bodies of women. And in a protest not long after, the delivery truck of one of these papers was torched, slogans like "the press is complicit" were sprayed around the city and in, you know, the downtown area where one of these papers has their offices. And so that was kind of the controversy there. And a few days after they ran that photo, one of the papers, La Prensa, had, you know, run a separate cover reiterating their commitment to telling ugly stories, and as they always have, but also recognized that it needs to dialogue with society and that they heard the protesters' pleas, they heard society's pleas.
It's so difficult, to be frank, for me to look at these images because they're traumatic. And the fact that the headline, based on what you're telling me, read, "It was Cupid's fault," where they showed the dead, mutilated body of a 25-year-old woman. And right next to that image was an image of a scantily clad living woman also portraying the sort of sexuality. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they sell. And clearly, they're very popular, though some people consider them to be, these papers to be targeted more for men. They're also much cheaper than prestige newspapers in Mexico. They cost around 8 pesos, the Nota Roja, and, you know, a more serious newspaper that doesn't feature such images on its covers, you know, is more around 20 pesos. And in Mexico City, the most famous Nota Roja, called La Prensa, sells an average of over 287,000 physical copies a day in Mexico City. So that obviously speaks to its popularity. But there are also many who find these images jarring and distasteful. And, you know, I think from conversations, do their best to avoid looking at them while passing newsstands.
And is there any, I mean, did you speak to some of these newspapers? What do they say in their defense? How do they justify this business model, continuing to produce these papers that show such graphic images of violence against women right next to hypersexualized images?
Yeah, so the paper whose editor I spoke with, La Prensa, you know, he was saying that, and the reporters as well that I spoke with of that same paper were saying that, you know, the public has a right to know what happens, and that obviously there are very ugly things happening in terms of crime in Mexico and Mexico City, you know, right now. And as far as the sexualizing women part, you know, they said that they've actually come down in the number of photos of scantily clad women that they feature on their covers, and it's not as often as it used to be in the past. And I think they justify or, you know, defend their work because of an appetite for gore that readers evidently have, and, you know, their relationship with readers. And this is a 91-year-old paper. It's, you know, it's somewhat of an institution, really.
Thank you so much. Suman Naishadam is a freelance reporter based in Mexico City.
Thank you.